You are listening to the News Project in Studio, brought to you by GNAT TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GNAT TV's in-depth series. I'm Andrew McKeever, the news director here at GNAT TV's News Project, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Also a pleasure to be joined here in the studio by two gentlemen who are no strangers to the GNAT studio, Seth Bongartz, the president of Hildene, and Brian Keefe, who will be assuming that position come January 1st of 2020. Gentlemen, welcome back to GNAT.
Happy to be here.
Thanks, Andrew.
Good to have you with us, as always. So, we have news. Seth, you've been at the helm at Hildene now since 2002, I believe.
Yes.
And we'll be stepping down at the end of this year, and Brian taking over. So, but you have an interesting transition plan, it seems like. You're going to be staying on until the end of the year. Brian's going to be the special assistant. Then you're going to flip-flop roles. Is that it?
Well, not exactly. I mean, but, you know, Brian will become president. That's the real story. And it's just that I'll be able to, I'm not leaving. I'm going to be in town. I'm going to be here. And I am really more than happy and willing to do whatever Brian would like me to do to help with the transition. You know, just... it's a complex operation, and so I'll be around, and that's and totally available, which is something I'm really happy about. And it'll be a matter of how much Brian wants that help, but to the extent or needs, and to the extent it makes sense, I'm around.
All right, and so your role as special assistant up until the end of this year, Brian. Kind of what does that involve? Tell us about that.
Well, it's a chance for me to get oriented to the operation, to get to know the people, the staff, the supporters that we have, the property itself, how things are run. It's a, as Seth just said, it's a pretty complex organization from the historic parts to the agriculture parts to the horticultural parts. 42,000 visitors, 412 acres. There's just a lot of activity going on. There's a cycle to it. Like, I mean, being in Vermont, we're used to the annual cycles, and so we have that annual cycle at Hildene too. So it gives me a chance to get on the grounds and get on the property and really get to know the place really well.
Mm. So what prompted you to say, hey, you know, I've time to move on to the next chapter at this point? Is it just after nearly, what, 18 years?
18 years. I think that's really it. You know, I always knew that when I even began to think about retiring, that it would be time to retire, because that Hildene requires kind of like every bit of energy somebody in my position, soon to be Brian's position, has. It's kind of 24 hours a day. It's kind of, you know, all the time. And you really have to have the total commitment, all in, all the time, to make it work. And, you know, so I had known a long time ago that when I began to think, oh, you know, I'd really maybe rather stay home today or something like that, and even begin to, those thoughts begin to creep in that it's time to go. So those thoughts began to creep in, frankly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's time to go, but I'm still like, we've got so much to get done this year. I'm so excited about this year and really looking forward to both really helping to affect the transition and getting some things done this year. So that's really it. You know, it's just the way it is. There comes a time, and I can sense that it's the time, and I want to do it. I don't want to wait too long to do it, hang on too long, and then really not be giving it 150% that it requires.
Yeah. So, definitely.
It's kind of that simple. You begin to think about it, it's time to go.
And Brian, I guess what attracted you to this job? This would be a bit of a departure, I think. You've been a state representative. You served on the Manchester Planning Commission. You worked closely with Senator Jim Jeffords down in Washington, and also at CVPS, the electric utility. So this is something, sounds like a bit different from that.
Well, it's different from that. It's different from being in the legislature where it was, you know, the last two years. But it's a great place to be, and it's very consistent with all of my upbringing and experience, really, because, you know, I grew up in Franklin County. My dad grew up on a farm for a while. We had a dairy farm when he was a principal when I was pretty young, and we always had horses and different animals. So the farming aspects are very familiar to me. We do a lot of educating at Hildene, and our own kids have gone through some of the education programs, the summer programs and other education programs. That those are very familiar with me. I've always had an interest in the history and, you know, to the extent it's political history, that's something that's always been important to me. So, and then further, you know, being part of the Manchester community for almost three decades, I know Hilding has is a great contributor to the economy of our town, of our area. It is a draw for visitors here. I mean, we bring, I don't know, half of the visitors come from outside to come to Hilding and spend their money here. So, it's, you know, 20,000 people maybe come just to see Hilding, but they're drawn here by Hilding and then they explore and spend their money around. We have a little over 30 employees, so we're providing jobs. And some of them are students that started really young and then evolve into either a volunteer or a youth corps or part-time employees, full-time employees. So we're part of the jobs program. We purchase materials and goods. You know, we're a part of the local economy, and that's always been important to me as I've lived in Manchester. So in those senses, it feels very familiar. It's very exciting to be there. It is a departure. And frankly, it was a little surprise that this opportunity came along. But right from the beginning, I saw that this could be a good fit, and I'm very excited to be there.
I was just wondering, you know, out of the 42,000 or so folks that come to Hilding annually, do you break them down into how many people come to visit, like, the main house there that probably is the part of it that's most familiar to most people, or how many come to the farm or use your trail network in some way or another?
It's really hard to do that. The one thing that we do have a point of sale system, so we get zip codes. We know where everybody's from, you know, whether they're from. We actually have a lot of international travelers, by the way, a lot of international visitors, people from almost every state every year. And like Brian mentioned, we do know from our internal surveys that more than half the people who come through the door to the counter to get a sticker at Hilding are in the area for the specific purpose of coming to Hilding. And that's really that's great because it really tells us, as Brian was alluding to, that we're really doing something important for the area. Well, we're doing a lot of things important for the area, but one of them is bringing visitors. And then the other half of our visitors, and this is the flip side of the story, and I love the fact that the two go together, is people from town sending people to us. That's where other half of our visitors come from. When they come to visit, and the inns and, you know, people like you, but what is there to do? You send people to Hilding. And that's really the relationship we have with the town, where we're bringing half of our people are coming to the area to see Hilding, but then they're out in the community doing all the things that Brian mentioned, you know, restaurants, hotels, you know, whatever, all the things that they do. And then the other half are people from town sending people to us. So I really like that fit. It's roughly 50-50, actually a little bit more than half are coming to the area, coming to Hilding for the purpose of coming to Hilding. But breaking down how many go to, you know, the Pullman car or the house or the Dean farm, you know, it's really hard to do because it's a single ticket and everything's in a single ticket.
I imagine a lot of people come and they go to probably all those attractions. They go to the house, the Sunbeam car, or down to the farm, or
one of the realities of Hilding now is that it's becoming an all day experience. It used to be, you know, when we first got there, it was a house, and you know, it was a great experience, but it was about an hour and a half. And now it's really become, especially with the incorporation of the Dean Farm, it's become, you know, we now sell two-day tickets. We started that last year because for a lot of people it's, you know, a half day and a half day or something like that, or a full day. But that's really what's happening at Hilding, is that it's becoming, there's so much more to do that it's, depending on how much time you allocated in the first instance, you might find yourself not having enough time to really see everything that you realize is there once you get there.
All right. Well, tell us about some of the new projects or programs you might have in the works here. I know the farm is one thing that is always striking to me as I drive along the road there and go by. It certainly has expanded a lot in the last couple of years since it was first launched. What all is involved with that? Do you have like a dairy operation there, and is vegetables or?
So we have the goat dairy, which is up on the hillside, and we have the other animals down on the Dean side, down by where the along River Road. So the greenhouse is there, the alpacas and sheep, and we have some piglets there now, chickens. I'm probably leaving out a few, but we have the farming operation down in the valley, the Dean side. But I've been spending some time in the goat dairy where we also have the cheese making operation. So I spent a day making cheese with our cheese maker, Marit, and she is just exceptional. High quality cheese that we also sell in our museum store. But the product, either we make a cow cheese and a goat cheese, and this time of year we're just gearing up the goat cheese side of it because the goats, the mothers, they have been sort of dormant through the winter, but over the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've been birthing kids at the rate of 2 or 3 a day, it seems like. So we have about 35 little baby goats out there. And the mothers, after giving birth, of course, begin their lactation process and start giving milk. So we'll be turning that goat milk into cheese very soon, once kind of you get through the weaning process. So there's a lot of action at the little goat dairy right now, a lot of excitement. We've got school kid groups coming through, one or two groups a day right now. A lot of visitors on the weekend are very attracted to the goats. They're very cuddly to hold. I almost brought one here today, Andrew, but I didn't want the goat to steal the show.
Mind, huh?
So that's one part of it. And maybe Seth can talk about what goes on down in the Dean, because there's a lot going on down there as well.
Yeah, the Dean is, you know, it's really half our property. Roughly speaking, half of it on the hill and half of it's in the Dean, thus the Hill Dean. And what we're doing with the agricultural operation in the Dean is we're not milking. By the way, one milking operation is good. it's wonderful, but one milking operation is good. So we're with the Dean, we're trying to do a much more kind of traditional mix of animals. And you know, everything's for a reason. For instance, we have alpacas and we have sheep. We shear them both. We mix the fleece from the alpacas with the wool from the lambs and have roughly 50-50 mix of yarn we now sell in the store. We're developing a hat made out of our yarn that we'll sell for a value-added product. So everything we do is for a reason, and everything results in a product in one way or another, so that it gives it real meaning. Like Brian talked about the signature product from the goat dairy is the cheese. We also make goat's milk soap that we sell in the store that does really well. The cattle and the pigs, actually, you know, that's what happens with cattle and pigs is that they end up going to market, or they end up, you know, so that happens with the cattle and the pigs. With the sheep and the alpacas, we have another signature product that we make, which is a really wonderful yarn, a couple of grades of yarn that we're selling in the store.
So you have a lot of the visitors who come and go down through that to check it all out?
That's growing constantly. Of course, all the parking is on the upper level. Mm-hmm. And we have carts that run up and down during the summer, but most people walk. And we estimate, it's really hard to know with certainty, but we estimated last year that the number of people going down versus the year before had about quadrupled. It takes a while for people to get it, you know, for people to realize that there's something new there, but that's really happening, and that's taking off. The other thing, I don't want to take too much time here, but the other thing about the Dean that's really fun is that that's where the high school program is located. That's the epicenter for the high school program.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
You know, we have the greenhouse, and we are the work is being done to convert one of the historic barns into a 21st century classroom. That'll be ready by something like June. So it'll truly be ready for next fall. Mm. So the high school program will have a home. And it's a magical classroom. Great windows across the back, looking out over the animals in the gardens at the Dean. And if you go to the Byrne Burton course selection catalog and open it up, 2 pages of it are dedicated to Hill Dean, to offerings at Hill Dean, full-time teacher at Hill Dean, and that now with a true home for the program, that program will really take off. And so we have the programs for the little guys, the elementary school programs, then we have things for middle schoolers, and now we truly have a really fully comprehensive high school program.
And is this like a regular course or class that a student would take, like at Bernburton?
Yeah, you sign up
like English or math or history or something like that?
It's ecology, plant and soil science, food systems, whatever. There's a number of, six or seven in the catalog, and some in the fall, some in the spring. But it's we're close enough. One of the reasons it works so well is that we're close enough that kids can get there very quickly from the school and have time. I think it's usually double blocks of time to really get into the coursework while they're at Hildene, whether it's outside fall and spring or in the greenhouse during the winter. And the greenhouse was, of course, built for that purpose. It was built for us to share with the Bernburton program, and which makes it just so much fun. It's fun for guests when they come down and see high school kids around. The high school kids love to talk to the guests about what they're doing. So it's our guests asking them questions is very affirming of what they're doing. And for the high school kids, it really helps them learn how to deal well with adults, represent Bernburton and represent Hildene well. And the amazing thing is how well that works. It's really, I think it's almost totally unique to be doing this for a place like Hildene and a place like Bernburton to be doing this in partnership.
Right.
And what's really exciting is to see, having lived here for so long, I'm getting reacquainted with a lot of these programs, frankly, and the education part of what goes on at Hildene is really core to our mission of teaching values into action, teaching the values of Lincoln to the next generation so that they can put those values into action into our world today. And so the children's program, Seth just reviewed pretty well the high school programs, the children's programs have really grown since the days when our kids, who are now in their 20s, went through. And I'm sure a lot of your audience has familiarity with the programs, and they've just gotten better and better. They're very high quality. During the school season, there's a lot of kids that come from all around, from as far away as Brattleboro and Bennington, New York, Rutland, kind of within an hour's drive. And they will tie their, similar to at the high school, the local schools can tie their curriculum right into what we teach at Hildene. It's I don't know if accredited is the right word, but it fits right in with their curriculum. It's consistent with their planning, and it's high quality education. And there's a lot, with those programs fill up, we now have two full-time instructors who are excellent, and they've developed these curriculums that teachers in these other schools all around us really recognize and appreciate. And then there's the summer programs that probably people are more familiar with, and often with the younger kids, collecting tadpoles or identifying flowers. And those are very important summer programs. Again, high quality that we, I just checked yesterday, we're about sold out for the season. Partly because we keep the class sizes small, so it's intimate like that. And then we have a youth corps, which is a kind of a in between all of this, where a smaller group of more teenage kids, well, this is Seth's brainchild, so maybe he can describe it real quickly. they come on the property and are actually work there and build construction projects that help promote all the rest of it. So,
well, just a really quick description of it is, and I'll tell a quick little story if we're not running out of time. A quick little story that I was with, this was a few years ago, twice in the same summer with parents of the little guy campers who come in the summer, the ones who, programs run up to as high as sixth grade. But they both said to me that their children were aging out of the summer camps. And they both said to me, they used the same words, they're in mourning. Because they've been through all those years at Hildene and all of a sudden there was nothing for them. And we had the high school program, the high school summer jobs program that we've had for a while and is really something else we could talk about. And then we had the program for the kids, although they're six, but we're leaving out seventh and eighth grade.
Yeah.
And I think that actually happens a lot, by the way. But so when I heard it the second time, I went, okay, we got to do something. And so we developed this program for that age group, kids entering seventh or eighth grade. But they think they're a little too old to go to the summer camp like they've been to. They need something a little bit different.
And they've done that.
So it's 2 weeks, and they have a project. And at the end of the, it's at the, so we have counselors. We have wonderful high school kids who help serve as counselors, and one of our educators that Brian mentioned earlier oversees it. But they're here for 2 weeks, and they build something of lasting value to Hildene. And they always put a sign up with their names on it in the summer, and they can come back 10 years later and see something that they've achieved. Mm. And kids love it. I mean, last year it was 4 boys and 4 girls. We limited it to 8 kids, but they were mixing cement, lugging cement, and building the whole project with our buildings person overseeing that part of it as well. And then in the afternoon, you know, a few hours is good. You know, but when you're that age, that begin to lose a little bit of attention after the morning. So we kind of shifted a little bit more to a traditional summer camp in the afternoon with projects. But it's really fun. It's really filled that gap. And so we have all the way through kids as young as maybe 4 or 5 years old, all the way, in some ways, through high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. You know, one of the other things that's always interested me about Hildene and what you do there is your kind of civic discourse program. You have speakers come and various events that happen. And I guess I just wondered, I'm assuming that will continue and grow and prosper. I just think that that's something that today particularly is really needed to kind of, I mean, the very, very title, civic discourse, sounds like something that would be really important for all of us to kind of get reacquainted with.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, Andrew, that I agree with what you just said, and that's becoming a bit bigger part of our programming. Last year we had, I think you were there for the Brian Doobie and Sue Mittner discussion. We haven't quite got the program set for this year, but we'll have something similar to try to engage the public and try to promote the civil discourse, because that is important. Another thing that is coming in a nearer term is we have a Lincoln essay contest for eighth graders statewide, and we have a luncheon coming up on May 19th for the winners of the contest, and that's always a great luncheon, a great sharing of thoughts and civic discourse. Frankly, this year's theme was who names someone and describes someone who inspires you to do better. I don't quite capture the exact jargon of our mission there, but the point is that we have eighth graders writing essays, 500-word essays, about people who inspire them into action, again, consistent with our mission. And those winners will be they're from all over the state, and they'll be down here May 19th for a luncheon and an award ceremony, and it's a really important part of that civic discourse lesson.
What are some of the biggest challenges you see to kind of continuing to grow what you're doing and promote your mission? I mean, fundraising, I guess, is one of those things that always comes to mind or is near the top of the list. But in addition to that, what are some of the other challenges or things that you see that we got to tackle this at some point in the not too distant future?
Well, there's always it's a nonprofit. There's never enough money, and we have a lot of infrastructure and a lot going on. And but as I always say about it, that's life in a nonprofit. You're always gonna have that. But one of the things about Hildene that makes it a little bit different is that we're able to produce at least a good share of our own revenue. We've taken the attendance, for instance. There's a whole story about this, but bottomed out early in our tenure in 2005 at 19,000. We've now managed to build that to 42,000. And of course, all of those people are paying, and we've been able to, as we've produced the value, been able to increase the ticket price. So we're actually at the point where admissions is nearing a third of our budget. And for a place like Hildene, that's really pretty impressive.
Yeah.
We absolutely are reliant on membership and the annual fund to make it over the top. And it's a huge part of what we do every year and what we need to keep going. But we at least, between the store, it's another, it's become a real revenue center. Product tied very directly to our mission and who we are and what we do. And our own product, by the way, is the first thing out the door. We sell honey, for instance, as well as the cheese, and I know I'm leaving some things out the yarn, but the Hildene product is the number one seller at Hildene. So we've been able to take everything we're doing and try to put it into a system that does help produce the revenue required to run Hildene. But on the other hand, you know, education, frankly, as it looked at in isolation, you know, it just costs. Mm. You know, if we charged schools or summer campers anywhere near what it really costs to put the programs on, people couldn't afford, schools couldn't afford to come. And then what's the point of Hildene? I mean, that's part of the point. So that part's always going to require fundraising. So the challenge really is just the year to year and trying to build the base. We're trying to build our legacy society. You know, the number of people who have Hildene in their wills, which over time, you know, does make a difference. It's mm-hmm. Trying to build endowment. And you know, we work on those things all the time. And so in the long run, those things can really help be a stable platform underneath everything that we do.
Yeah, I would just add that as I was doing my due diligence in discussing this opportunity, I looked at that, the business case, if you will, for Hildene, and I was encouraged that the different areas of the revenue side were growing outside of the fundraising. So as Seth said, membership is a growing revenue. The museum store is, if people haven't been in there lately, it's a lot different than what maybe the last time you were there. It's getting better all the time with a lot of local products and high quality stuff. It's a really sweet store that's becoming a bigger part of our revenue. We do events such as weddings, for example. Again, it's a piece of our pie, but we could not succeed without our donors and supporters, and it is a broad group of people that support Hildene generously and have really from the beginning. Many people are familiar with Hildene's beginnings, which were quite humble and quite miraculous, really, that this property was saved from development is miraculous, really, and that in many, you know, there's still people around that were part of that. How long ago? I lose track. Is that 40 years ago?
Yeah.
And they've been loyal supporters, and that support has just grown and grown, and it's really encouraging because without the donors, as Seth said, we couldn't do what we do out there, and people's lives are changed out there. So we're always very grateful for the donor base.
Mm. So we have a couple of minutes left, and I have to ask you about one of my favorite parts of Hildene, which is that telescope observatory. Is that's a functioning telescope, right? Or is it under repair, or what's its status these days?
It needs a little tiny bit of work, but basically it's a functioning telescope. We maybe in 2005, we went through a restoration of the telescope and of the observatory itself. And we actually have, in the past, held a couple of events with the scope, and it's really kind of fun because it's such an old-fashioned observatory.
Right.
And the scope is, of course, this. Now the difference in scopes now and then is really kind of amazing. But it's a functioning scope. It's really an important part of Hildene's history because it was important to Robert.
Mm.
He was a very good amateur astronomer, you know, he obviously put a lot of time and effort into building that observatory and the telescope and spent a lot of time doing it.
So. Yeah, clearly. That must have been the state of the art back in 1905.
It was the state of the art. Yeah.
Well, that's the interesting thing about the house in all. That house represents the state of the art in 1905, 03, 04, 05. Everything in the, from different building techniques to the wiring to the plumbing. It's old now, of course, 120 years later, but at the time it was state of the art because they could afford state of the art. So that in and of itself is worth seeing that this is here's an example of where we were as a country, really, mm-hmm. in the form of state of the art building technologies and such.
Well, great. We'll have to leave it there for today, gentlemen, but thanks again for taking the time to come down and fill us in on what's going on, and congratulations, Brian, on this
thanks, Andrew.
new post here, and congratulations, Seth. I'm sure you're going to enjoy whatever comes along in retirement.
Oh, I'm going to be very much involved in a lot of things.
I'm sure you're not going to be out of the picture and all of that. But great. Well, thanks again, gentlemen, for being here and telling us all about what's going on in such an important part of town. And thanks all of you for being with us today as well. I hope you've enjoyed the show, found it interesting, and we'll hope we'll see you again the next time around. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening local. For more local content, visit gnat.tv.